I don't know what else to do, so I'm just going to do this. It's the news, according to me. Hello. It is Wednesday. Wednesday, March 1st. First day of March. Second attempt at a show here this morning. I've got, it's the third month of the year. 8:43 already, a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2023, March 1st, Wednesday. If I didn't say that already. If I did, I'm saying it again. Because I can. Got all kinds of things happening here. What's going on with this? This is last output. Okay, whatever. Yeah, this is probably going to screw things up again here. Okay. We're still working. It still seems to be working. That's all we're concerned about. I got the old recording backup going on as well now this morning too. Apparently, my cat apparently has been in here doing a podcast of his own. He hasn't figured out how to talk in the microphone yet, but he's got all the mechanics down. He's pushing all the buttons on the table here, which is great. Got about 4 or 5 hours of podcast recorded. That apparently, hey, I don't know what he intended on, what his subject was going to be about. Probably got a better listening audience than I do. He's probably getting all kinds of clicks. Probably get a check in the mail here from YouTube. Probably got sponsors and everything else. Because that's just the way that cat rolls. I had to have a little fit with him this morning because there was another cat outside. And the cat, we have a walkout basement, so the cat can see outside. This other cat was just sitting out there, kind of looking at him. Of course, my cat wanted to go out and play with him, and I will not let that happen. So the cat kept wanting to go back to the window. And it started getting mad at me because I wasn't letting him outside, which we never let him outside. So he's all freaking out about that. I was trying to get him out of my room here so I could get into my booth. So today tomorrow. I don't have time today. Well, I might have time today. We'll see how this works out. I need to get that other sound booth moved into the house. And it looks like it's going to be a nice enough day to do that. It's been so rainy and smoopy and it's just poopy outside that I can't, you know, the ground is real soft. I have to get this thing rolled out from underneath I have to roll it off of the cement and tip it down and get it through the door and hopefully get it tipped back up again. So it's a heavy beast. It's a hefty dude made out of steel and real stuff. American made. So it's we're gonna do that. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. That's not why you tuned in to listen to this show. You tuned in to listen to this show because you want to know what's in my cup. I have, I'm in a rut. It's the vanilla chai with vanilla creamer. In my backup cup, I just have sweet tea. Milo's sweet tea. Which is tasting pretty good this morning, actually. It's kind of what I need after that little hissy fit we had with the cat. I had to actually hiss him out the door. He started hissing at me, when he starts hissing at me, I hiss right back. And he doesn't like that. He starts running away from me. I will not back down from that cat. Even though his teeth are sharper, and he has more of them, and his claws, which I do not have. Yeah. Let's just say I can beat him with the hiss. That's all I can do. So, this morning we have a lot of interesting things again happening in the news. Now, I just to give you a little bit of a little technical background here this morning. I recently went to we used to have these home internet deals. There was I had one at the main headquarters, the office over there, and it was a Verizon system, which was getting kind of old. I think it was only capable of 3G, maybe 4G. I don't know. I'm not even sure if it could do LTE. It was pretty slow. And not only was it slow, it only gave you 15 gigabytes a month before it throttled down to some ridiculously slow, like 3 kilobytes or something. It's almost worthless. It would be online, but you barely. So I had gone to T-Mobile and we picked up this other deal, which is a home phone internet deal. And you can, in fact, I think I still have my phones plugged into that, I believe. Maybe I don't. Maybe I didn't get a phone line with that. Maybe I just got the internet thing. And it's like $100 or $50 a month, I think, plus $100. I had two of them, so it's $100 a month. Got one for the office and one for here. And it doesn't limit you on how much you can have for the month. It just throttles you when there's busy times. So it can't guarantee you this super high fast speeds. But it does give you fast speeds when they're available, when nobody else is using the system, which for the majority of the time, I've never had that much problem in this area. So I usually get pretty fast speeds with that thing. However, it does, you can tell it's throttled. Sometimes it's slow. It's certainly not 5G. I think it was 5G capable, but T-Mobile doesn't have a 5G network in this area. Now, Verizon does. So I went over to Verizon, our old home. So we had two systems, basically, in both the house and at the office. And the old system with Verizon, they were phasing that out. They weren't even going to support that device anymore. It wasn't going to work anymore. Actually, the internet on that thing system shut down last month. And so by the end of the month, we had to come up with a solution. And even our jetpack, we have this little jetpack, little portable hotspot thing. And it was that was the same way. It would only give you 15 gigabytes at fast speed, and then it would slow down. So we would be here trying to do video conferencing or any kind of video uploading, audio files, uploading, downloading, that kind of thing. It would sometimes be very slow. Well, I went in there yesterday, spent 2 hours because their system was down, the background system. They couldn't approve anything. They couldn't do anything. So I had to wait in there for like two. I usually want to go in the Verizon store. I plan on them about an hour. Which I had planned about an hour and a half because I had to go meet somebody at 5:30 and I knew I was going to stop in there and I was going to possibly, if I got out of there quickly, I was going to go ahead. And of course, it was a 20-minute wait before I could even talk to somebody. So I did that. By the time they got everything squared away and we decided what we wanted to do, actually I had two people come out. They had the business manager come out and talk to me because we have a lot of devices. We're a rather large account. And most people go in there and say, can I get my phone bill down from $100 to $90? I'm working on $1,000 to $900 maybe. So it's like 10 people walking in the door when I walk in the door. Because, you know, I can buy this place. Don't tick me off. I can buy this whole place and fire y'all. And I have to hire y'all back because I don't know what I'm talking about. So that's the way I act too when I walk in the door. I let them know right up front. Anyway, the business manager came out because they were talking about, because I have a business. So they were talking about, you can do a lot better if you have a business account, you can get this extra deal. And it's going to be basically the same price with a whole lot more internet available, high speed internet. So the routers themselves were free. You got two new free routers. Now I could have upped that quality of the router and gotten a better one for $300 more instead of $600. And at least they couldn't tell me any advantages to getting the higher priced one. I was just like, well, we don't know. There's no difference really. So, okay, well, just go get that one. The only difference I could find on the thing was that there was more plugins in the back for Ethernet, which I only need one. So I can hook a switcher up to it and go that route. Do the same thing. So I ended up, going with the two systems that they have, which are 100 gigabytes per month at high speed, at 5G, at the high speed upload download speeds. So, and unlike the T-Mobile will not let you like put it in your motorhome or put it in your boat if you're going to be gone for 2 weeks. And they won't let you travel with the thing, which Verizon will. You can stick it in your motorhome and drive away. They don't care, which is awesome. As long as you're parked someplace where you can get cellular service, which isn't too big of a deal because I do have an antenna. We can put up the antenna on the outside. But and same thing with the boat. Because it's a sailboat, so we can run it up the mast, which is kind of nice. In fact, next year I'm going to put a dedicated cell phone receiver up on the top of the mast so we can actually get cell phone coverage all the way across the lake. Get out there in the middle of the lake, about 25 miles out there. You can't get cell phone service sometimes or internet service. So we're going to do that. And so what we're planning on doing is we get these systems coming. They're They were free. Get two of them, one for the office, one for the home office here. And I've got, we got new SIM cards for the iPads as well. Put those in. They'll run on 5G now. And we can use our phones as hotspots with no additional charge. Well, we're paying per month for that, but it's a little bit of an upcharge on the at the first of the month for the monthly charge, but it's, and we don't have to worry about it. We just use it whenever we want to as a hotspot, which I'll have to get in the habit of doing because, and then the Jetpack is the same way. I think we have 60 gigs instead of 15 on the Jetpack before it throttles back. So we're covered now. If we want to do a lot of video conferencing or whatever we're doing at high speed, we can do all that. But we still have the T-Mobile for the backup. I think we'll just keep that. It's pretty cheap insurance to be able to have some kind of internet if Verizon goes down. So we have that system set up now, and we're not paying any more than we were paying before. So there you go. That's all in effect right now. We don't have the routers yet. They're supposed to come in, I think, the next couple of days. And then we're supposed to, rest of the system's all up. We got all of our other devices going. So that's helpful. Now, that out of the way, a little plug. Now, I'm not sponsored by Verizon or T-Mobile, either one. The opinions expressed on this podcast are that I'm not a lawyer or a doctor. I'm not a virologist or an epidemiologist. I can barely say epidemiologist. I'm not a life coach or a financial counselor. So there you go. What you do with this information is your own business. Unless it's not. So there's some interesting things happening. One of the subjects I wanted to talk about was the whole Rhino thing. Now, Paul Ryan came out recently and made the announcement he's not going to be at CPAC. Now, I know that Mike Pence, I'm not going to go to CPAC this year. Now, I don't know why Mike Pence isn't going to CPAC. I can only speculate. I do know that Donald Trump will be at CPAC. CPAC, the organization, is not stupid. They know. They can read the polls. They can see the information that's out there. Now, here's a little known fact that most people don't understand. Most people don't know. Paul Ryan, if you remember, he was the Speaker of the House when Orange Man Bad was elected. Paul Ryan did not push the building of the wall. Paul Ryan is at the head of the list of people that we can blame for what we have going on our border right now. Period. I don't blame the Democrats because this is what they ran on. We knew this was going to happen. Joe Biden said, we have to surge the border. He reversed all the policies, and he said he was going to reverse the policies. He said we weren't going to build the wall, or the wall was going to stop. The Democrats have fought against it from day one. If you remember Sandy Cortez down there crying in front of a fence that wasn't even anywhere near the border. She found a fence somewhere because she couldn't find a facility where these children were locked in cages. The Obama cages, by the way. Who built the cages, Joe? Who built the cages? Those were built by Obama. During the Obama administration, those cages that they were putting kids in were built during the Obama administration. And they're blaming Orange Man Bad, the racist, for throwing kids in cages. Oh, the squalor that they were living in. Oh, the terrible conditions they were living under. What few of them were there. Now we have tens of thousands of them huddled underneath survival blankets. But this is humane, we're being told. The press isn't even allowed in to this area, these areas where these people are. All we keep being told is, the border is secure. The border is, we have operational control of the border. He won't say the border is secure. He'll say, we have operational control. Our goal is operational control of the border. Now, by the way, I don't know if Mayorkas has come out or not. But anybody who can't see that, why he was hired, just so you know, and why he won't be fired. I have worked with individuals who know that all they have to do is play that card and they will not get fired. And he is one of those people. I can guarantee you. He has exactly the personality type. I won't go any further with that. Interesting thing, I haven't checked on my numbers. I usually check on my numbers before I start the broadcast. That way I can either cry or I can be happy. I'm very happy this morning, I have to say. It's amazing. When I have shows, the numbers go up. It's kind of amazing how that works. Kind of surprised how that works. Seems to work okay, though. So I have a, what now? I guess getting some kind of message from somebody. Oh, yeah, probably should do that. I might have to go to lunch. Somebody wants to do lunch now with me instead of doing supper. So that's my wife. She wants to. We were going to have supper up at her, close to where she's working. It looks like now maybe I'll do the, I was going to go up there for supper and check on my boat. But I think I might do the old lunchtime thing. That way it's nicer up there, actually, during before it starts raining. But I digress. Anyway, at this point, what we have going on is the Paul Ryans, the rhinos. Now, Mike Pence either knows he's not welcome at CPAC or he doesn't want to go to CPAC because Trump is going to be there. But he's not saying that. Those are the things that I'm considering. I think that's either he wasn't invited, which I'm not too confident on that, or else he just. Because he's so busy with his book tour, because everybody's just buying that book like hotcakes. He's just selling those. Those are flying off the shelf. I guess DeSantis has written a book now, too. This whole thing with DeSantis is interesting. I really don't think he's going to announce a run. I really don't think he is. I don't think he should. Maybe Trump is, and Trump has been kind of picking on him a little bit. So maybe this is part of Trump's thing. Maybe Trump wants to draw him into the race. I don't know. I'm not sure. But regardless of what he's doing, he's, it may be part of Trump's strategy. I don't know. I know that Trump needs someone to keep the pot stirred. I know this sounds kind of crazy, but sometimes it is you're better off having an opponent than not having an opponent. It keeps the news cycle stirred up. And I don't know if that has something to do with it or not. Trump is a media expert. Speaking of media experts, I happened to record this morning. It is a clip via James from Black Conservative Patriot, BCP. He had this little thing on this morning, and I thought I'd play this. This is Donald Jr., Don Trump Jr., and what he has to say here is, I think, pretty much epitomizes this whole thing with the rhino, Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan, though. I'm just going to play this. This is what Donald Trump Jr.'s thought on it is. And we'll just go with this.
Check this out. Breaking news. Really important stuff that literally zero people give a crap about. Paul Ryan, a former Speaker of the House, the guy that didn't deliver the wall because he was too busy trying to be loved by the people who hate our guts. Yours, mine, basically anything America first, says that the RNC that he will not be attending the Republican National Convention if Trump is the nominee. And no one gives a crap. Literally no one. This guy is the guy on the board of Fox News, which also explains a lot about the direction and some of the content I'm seeing out there, folks. This explains to me almost everything, frankly. I know I haven't been invited on in 6 months, so I'm sure that's him pushing his Rhino, America Last, War Forever, garbage fold to the Democrats' agenda.
I love how fellow podcaster. Yeah.
So that was James there at the end. So that kind of spells it out right there. And remember, Paul Ryan is on the board. I think he's actually pretty high up on the board there at Fox News somehow. How does that happen? How do you go from being a congressman, Speaker of the House, a very poor one at that, by the way? He is at the core, at the center of why the wall didn't get built. I don't even think he brought it to the table. He, along with all the other Never Trumpers and the Rhinos, who were hoping, folks, I guarantee you, if you knew who he voted for in the last election, in the 2016 election, I guarantee you, he probably voted for Hillary Clinton. I would bet he did. There were rhinos. There were Never Trumpers out there who had this strategy. In fact, Glenn Beck, the downfall of Glenn Beck, I don't remember, Glenn Beck was on a lot of channels. He was on a lot of radio networks. I heard he was on my local network here every morning. And for a while, the guy was a hot commodity. He was, everybody listened to him. I could be at a walking through a parking lot at a store somewhere, and I would hear people on their radio, you know, as they're driving by or they're sitting in their car, and they were listening to Glenn Beck in this area. That was very common. The guy seemed like a down to earth kind of practical. Here's the thing that always got me about him though. He was always one of those people who said, question everything, you know, question, make sure you verify everything. Let's dig into this and find out the roots on this stuff and find out where this stuff came from. He was always picking on people saying, this person came from this, you know, this place, and this philosophy comes from there and there. Have you ever looked into your own religion there? I mean, I hate picking on people like this. And I know Mormons are not necessarily immoral people. They have moral standards to most degrees, even though apparently it doesn't matter, Senator Reid, Mitt Romney. They only use that when it's convenient for them politically. Well, he didn't win, did he? Interesting to me is how, you know, and I'm not saying that there's people who call themselves Christians out there. I mean, Joe Biden calls himself a Catholic. Nancy Pelosi calls herself a Catholic. The Pope, I don't think her bishop will allow her to take communion with the church because of her stance on abortion. She's only Catholic out of convenience. So she can throw that in people's face. I'm a good Catholic. I'm a practicing Catholic. You're not practicing very well because your bishop won't even let you take communion in your district. See, it's so many politicians use that, and it's so Glenn Beck. You know, even back when he was, you know, has he ever dug into the history and the theology, the doctrine of his own. Well, anyway. So you got this going on. So these people are just, they're just so pompous and self-righteous. That's what it boils down to. So you had these guys, had Paul Ryan up there, who, Speaker of the House, ended up going out against all these people who were, you know, these MAGA people. And you still have Biden saying this. He'll say it under, he'll be talking along, well, you know, these Republicans, these MAGA Republicans, they want to take away this, they want to take away that. It's this MAGA crowd. He still throws that in there occasionally. He just threw it in there the other day. Because he knows that the rhinos will go along with whatever they want to do. The Freedom Caucus and those who understand what's happening here to our nation, that's being ripped to shreds. You get the squad now is out in front of the Supreme Court all angry that they're not going to allow them to not going to allow Joe Biden to cancel the debt of student loan debt. And they're up there yelling that Joe Biden does have the legal authority to cancel all the debt. This is one of the problems with the government taking over things like this, because now the government is in charge of all student loans, by the way. However, the government doesn't loan the money. They just insure the loans. So when you cancel all the debt, you're basically paying off all the banks. All those banks that made those loans, they were guaranteed by the government, and the government's going to step in and say, we're going to cancel them all, and we're going to pay you for them. They're paying the banks. The banks are still getting their money. That's why the banks aren't up, you know, screaming about this. If I loan somebody money, say I start my own little, you know, buy here, pay here place, or I just do a payday cash loans place. Somebody comes in and I start loaning them money. They come in the door and say, hey, I need $500 to get through the week. And I get paid on Friday. Okay, you can pay me back $600 at the end of the week then. Okay. That makes good sense, doesn't it? Yeah. Maybe you're living beyond your means, buddy. I know some people, you know, some people just need a little help occasionally. You're getting up to a situation where it's not no fault of your own. I know people who've just been driving down the road minding their own business and get hit by another car that's not insured, hit and run driver. Now all of a sudden your whole life changes. Maybe you're injured. Now you have no car. Maybe you had a car loan, which again was a choice you made. Maybe you didn't have all the insurance you needed. And now you're stuck with no car. You can't get to work. You couldn't work if you could. And you can't sue anybody. And you didn't have the right insurance to pay for everything. And you don't have short-term disability. Now you lose your job. All of a sudden, you're in a world of hurt. You're living paycheck to paycheck or whatever you're doing, trying to get by. Look, I know this stuff happens. I've gone through my salad years. Not salad days, salad years. But you know what? Looking back on those things, I made decisions to put myself in that circumstance. I did not critically think through all the possibilities. Now you can't, you know, sometimes we take chances every day. You just never know what could potentially be around the corner. You might think I've had people tell me, well, one guy said, I'm going to pray for you because, you know, I'm doing really well right now. I see you're struggling. I'm doing really well. So I'm going to go ahead and pray for you right now. Next thing you know, it's turned around. He's not doing well. And I'm not going to get into details on that whole thing, but I'm just saying, be very careful. You know, I think sometimes I'm glad God took me through the things he did when I was younger. Having a situation where I couldn't afford to put gas in my car, couldn't afford to fix my car, couldn't afford to eat sometimes. Now, I had a situation when I was young, in my 20s, late teens, early 20s. I was working for a ministry. I see, I graduated when I was 17. So I had a few years in between there. Between I was going to take a year off and go to college. And I took a few years off and went to college. I think I was 21 before I even started school. Any kind of college. I only went to Bible college for 1 year. All the college I had. I had some trade school stuff, but that was it. And I was working for this ministry. It was kind of in the middle of nowhere. And I had a car that I had purchased prior to going to work for this ministry. Having a hard time making the payments on the thing, but I was barely making payments on the thing. I had to borrow the money for that. So I'm making payments on this thing. And they were providing me with living space in this ministry. However, I had to pay for my own utilities. And they were also charging me, taking money out of my check for the cost of the housing, if you want to call it that, little cabin I was living in. I couldn't afford to put gas in my car. Now, I didn't live that far from where my parents were. It was too far to walk. Well, you could always walk everywhere. You can walk across the country. But it was too far to walk just to get a meal. And I was too far away from town to walk anywhere to get a meal. And the place where I was working, they had a kitchen there, but they only served meals during parts of the year on the weekends. And it was free for me to go there and eat when they were serving food. When they weren't serving food, there was no food available. Unless I walked in and stole it out of the refrigerator, and I wasn't going to do that. So I would get fed on the weekends. And then there would be occasional weekends when they didn't have food. On the weekends. I went through a winter like that. Now, anytime I would show up at my parents' house, I could walk in, open the refrigerator door, and I could eat whatever I wanted out of there, and they would take me out to eat whatever I wanted. They would do whatever. But I was trying to be independent, not obstinate, just I was trying to be responsible for myself. And I struggled, to say the least. Once in a while, when they have food on the weekends, they would let me take home some leftovers. Sometimes the leftovers were like one thing, like chocolate pudding, a big pan of chocolate pudding. That's what I ate all week, chocolate pudding. Because it's all I could afford. It was it was a difficult time, to say the least. But I learned a whole lot through that process. Once I got out of debt, and it was, years and years later, when I finally figured out that debt was my enemy. And it started when I was 15 years old, when I had my first car loan. I don't know that there was any time I was ever out of debt since then, until just recently. And let me tell you, life is very different when you're in that situation. You've got, you're prepared for some contingencies. Now you can't prepare for everything. But I wish I had known back then what I know now. I would have made I can tell you the five or six different times I made major decisions in my life that would have been very, very, very different circumstances financially. Very different financial circumstances. Those four or five times I made decisions to do something financially. That would have changed everything in the course of my life. And I'm glad for the memories of that. Those who choose to ignore history are doomed to repeat it, and I don't want to be doomed to repeat it. I think it was Donald Trump. I think it was Donald Trump, or maybe it was his dad. That was, maybe it was Rockefeller. I don't know who it was. Somebody, one of those rich people out there. They were walking past, I think it was Donald Trump talking to Donald Jr. They were walking past they were walking up to one of their buildings. And I think the child said something about that poor homeless man there. He's not doing very well. And whoever it was, the father said, he actually has more money than I do. He's better off than I am. He understood that zero debt with nothing is, you know, at the end of the balance sheet, when you're showing that you're in the hole, you're a slave to the lender. The homeless guy wasn't a slave to anybody. Slave to himself, maybe. Wasn't a slave to any bank. And I think there's something about the humility of recognizing that, realizing that, hey, you know, I'm on borrowed everything right now. I'm on borrowed time. I'm on borrowed money. Somebody else owns the rest of my efforts and my. Now, there are people out there who have a totally different business plan with regard to all this stuff. But I see the issues, the what ifs. Robert Kiyosaki, for example, he is really big on borrowing money. Really big on it. But he knows how to invest that money, or he thinks he does. So he has millions of dollars in investments. Now, he's also a guy who wrote a book, several books. And made millions of dollars doing that. But that he swiftly turned around and invested. His theory is he's staying in debt for somehow he's got it taxed, figured out that he borrows this money and he doesn't have to pay taxes because he's living on his assets without having to pay taxes because he's in debt. So he's avoiding taxes by not having an income. I don't know how that's going to end. I don't know if that ends well or not. I know how his life will end. It will end in him passing away. Now, what happens after that, whether the whole thing crumbles and falls away and goes away, I don't know. I don't know how he's got that all set up. I'm not sure what he's got in mind there. Does he have enough life insurance to cover all that? I don't think so. Now, I don't know. To me, I would rather just pay cash for stuff. I'm a little bit more down the Dave Ramsey camp on this one. Because I have to tell you, the independence that you feel the ability to say to your employer, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm walking away. And I don't really need your job. The last place I was at, I was always talking to new employees that were onboarding. And one of the things I would, as we got to know each other, at some point in the conversation, spending weeks with them, I would say, you know, I actually don't need this job. I'm just here because I want to be. I'm not here because I have to be. If they push me to do something I don't want to do, I'm just going to say, see you later. I'm going to rent a car and go home. And the company knows that. And they didn't know what to do with that. Because I wasn't beholden to them. Now, I loved my job. I loved being, and the reason I was there is because I wanted to be. And I enjoyed what I was doing. If I didn't enjoy what I was doing, if I started complaining every day, like they were doing, I would have walked out. In fact, I started finding myself complaining a little bit, which is one of the reasons I wanted to leave. I don't want to be that guy. I don't be that guy that spreads. Being the Eeyore in the room. I don't want to be that guy at work. And one of the things I heard from so many people there is, it would always get back to me about the positive attitude I had. Not some kind of phony positive mental attitude, you know, phony crap. I genuinely liked what I was doing, and I enjoyed helping people there. Would jump into whatever needed done at the moment. Had no problem with that. Because I appreciated the company to some degree, but I especially liked the people I was working with. So it just became this normal thing for me to just maintain a. Now there were days I had bad days, you know. You can't let your. The foundation of what you're there for is one thing, but you have bad days where you just don't feel like being at work. There's other things you'd rather be doing. But the sum total of it all is I was happy to be doing. I was happy to be there. I found myself not so happy to be there after a while. And it was a lot of it was because of the complaining I heard around me. And I found myself kind of getting into that mode of, there was a lot of other issues there as well. A lot of other factors involved in why the attitudes were so low. And I didn't want to get involved in that. So I'm off to another company, fresh start. We'll see how things go over there. And I can always walk away from this one too. And I've got other income, so it's not like I'm. Even if I didn't have any income at all, at this point we're close to retirement anyway, and we're set up at a point where we're ready for that. So it's at least as far as I know. Now, today I could get in a car accident. I could have a medical issue. I could have something could happen. I hopefully have that covered. Because we're not just out buying stupid stuff like Xboxes and another big TV. $4,000 liquid crystal gold plated eye scanning retinal TV or whatever it is you're going to get. It's have one in every room. We're not going to do that. We don't get car loans. A buddy of mine just got hit a deer in his car. He didn't have his car isn't paid off. It ended up being totaled $19,000 for his car. It's not a new car, by the way. His dad works in his dad is a head salesman, I think, or something at a car lot, actually. So he gets a really good deal on his cars. But he still had a loan on the car. The guy makes good enough money to go out and buy a decent used car with cash. All the cars I have purchased in the last 15 years have been with cash. No more of this loan stuff. And you know what? I walk on the lot and I say, this is how much cash I have. This is what I'm willing to spend. I will walk off the lot and you will have this cash in your hand, but I'm not paying a penny more. None of this add-on stuff. None of this transportation costs. And you even work out the sales tax, whatever it is you're doing over there. I'm walking off the lot with this car. And this is how much cash you will have in your hand, and it'll be a done deal. So you make it work, or I'm walking away. I don't say it like that. I basically just say, this is how much cash I have. I have no more money, nothing more than this. This is my budget. Can I get this car and drive away from here today and give you this cash? Will you have this cash in your pocket while I have this car? And we'll both be happy. 9 times out of 10, I'm driving away with a car. No, I haven't done 10 cars. I've done close to 10 cars that way. I heard this guy, this poor guy, and now he says, well, I still had a car payment on it. I was hoping, how was it? He was hoping that they wouldn't total it so that they would have to fix it. And he could just keep his car payment going. Now he's got to get another. So he's going to pay it off with the money that they gave him. But now he's got to get another car loan. I'm like, who says you got to get another car loan? This guy's young. He's making really good money. Why do you have to get another car loan? What's the purpose of having a $20,000 car? You don't have kids. Your wife doesn't even drive. I'm not sure I understand that mentality, I guess. Well, we have to have an expensive car. Now, the cars I own, a couple of them brand new, were tens of thousands of dollars brand new. They were, some of them were $50,000 cars brand new. I didn't even pay $10,000 for them. I'm looking at possibly getting another one today, and I won't even pay $7,000 for it. And it was about a $58,000 car brand new. Yeah, it's got some miles on it. I do all my own maintenance. It's a very safe car. It's a good car. But it's a high quality car. It's made to go 400,000 miles. So I don't understand that part of it. I just heard about a lady today. This was on a newscast. I think it was on, actually it was on Redacted. Some lady was talking about this deal where she went to buy a 1999 regular little car, just a P-Punk little car. She bought it at one of these buy here, pay here places. Her payment was $284 a month for 84 months. 84 months. Is that like 7 years? Is that right? 7 or 8 years? For a car that's not going to last that long, and she's going to pay, that's like $23,000, if I'm figuring it in my head right. I don't know if it's got to be close to that. We're around $20,000-some, and it's for that kind of, what? I could buy three cars for that. Three good cars for that. I just don't understand. I don't get that. But I don't know. Anyway, get back to the whole politics thing. Let's get off this subject of debt and all that stuff. What bothers me about a lot of this is that there's so much of the country right now. Now, the housing bubble we saw back in the, I guess I'll tie this into the other thing I want to talk about. This housing bubble we saw back in 2008, everything that happened back then, is happening exactly the same way with car loans. And you may think, well, that's not a big deal. It's just cars. No, it's a big deal. The average car loan right now is $40,000. The average car loan is $40,000. 78% of the cars you see on the road today have a loan attached to them. And the average is $40,000. And people are not making payments. They're defaulting. The market is getting very sketchy out there because they were just loaning. You could walk into a car lot if your credit was any good at all. Yeah, you could just, no down payment, 60-month loan. You can buy a $70,000 car or a pickup truck or whatever. And I tell you, I'm seeing people driving around in brand new cars, really expensive brand new cars. And I'm looking at them thinking, I know where you work. And I know you're making okay money. But that car, you're going to be spending a lot of money on that car in the next 10 years. By the time you pay it off, it's going to be worthless. And there is a point now, and this is what's bad about some of these car loans is, typically, if you do that long-term, you know, six-year thing, the six-year payments or the five-year payments or whatever you're doing, my first house was in the ballpark of some of these cars. Now, I know I'm an old man. Back when I was a kid. But this is the kind of stuff that drives up the prices. And the problem is you get underwater at some point. There's a risk you're taking there for a couple of years, typically, where the car is worth less. Than what you owe on it. And here's what happens, and I've seen this over and over again. People will buy a car because they have to have that car. And I get it. You got to have a car to get to work. Or at least it's the way it would seem, because you know your bicycle just won't make it there. You can't find another job closer to home. You can't move someplace closer to where your work is. It's whatever, for whatever reason. But you think you have to do that. You have to have that car. So you buy that car and you're paying this money on it. And you still, you know, you'll pay on it for a year and you still owe, you know, you've only paid, you know, $200 on the principal or whatever. And a tree falls on it. This, I've known several people that this kind of thing has happened. Whether it's a tree, a deer, somebody else hits them, something happens to the car, they hit ice. They slide off the road, they bang it up, whatever happens. That car is now worth even less. And of course, then you got to pay, you know, and if you get a car for $50,000, guess what the insurance payments are going to be on that thing? I can choose to just get liability if I want to on my cars because I own them. The bank doesn't tell me what kind of insurance, I don't have to get full coverage on them. If I don't want to, and I do, I get full coverage. I'm glad I have because two of them got totaled. And they were paid for. It ended up being worth the insurance money. For the most part. I could have probably put the money away. That much money away every month. And probably ended up with enough money to pay for the car. But the problem is somebody else's car. Well, that's a liability issue there too. So that wouldn't be a bad deal. So there's different ways of doing this stuff. And I think I may be going to a system of liability only and self-insured bank account type thing where we just put money aside for if this car gets totaled, we got money to pay for it rather than paying an insurance company. Because then we're getting interest on the money while we're putting it into a money market or something like that. Anyway, that's just, I'm not trying to be a financial counselor here again because I'm not one, but I'm just saying there's better ways of doing it. Now, the other way of doing this is, the other thing that goes on here is that, so people, their car gets devalued because all of a sudden they have some kind of accident. So now this thing has an accident report, obviously. Go to sell it, it's going to be $1,000 less or maybe more than what it was, you know, should be worth if it had no accidents. And that's if they do good work on it to repair it. Which there's always there's a deductible involved in that as well. People get themselves backed into these corners. This is what's happening in the car market right now. And guess what? There was this shortage of cars being able to be produced, the new cars because of the chips and all the other stuff that was going on. And you had this backlog, and then used cars went up in price. Well, right now, you talk to anybody in the auction market where these car dealers go to pick up cars. The banks now are the primary people pushing the cars through on the auctions. These are all repos. The vast majority of them, more than 50% of them are repos. They will push the car through if nobody bids on it or if they don't get, they have a what they call a bid that where you, what is it called? That's like a safety bid kind of thing where if it doesn't reach a what do they call it? It's like a limit. I can't think of the name of it. eBay does it, but I can't think of what it is. A reserve price on it. They'll put a reserve price on it. And so if it doesn't make, say they want to sell the car for $25,000. If it doesn't make $20,000, they won't take a bid. They won't take a sale on it. So they can put that reserve on there for 20. If it only goes up to 19 or 18 or 15 or whatever it goes for, they will not sell. It's okay, just roll it on through. No bid, no sale. So that's what they're doing now. And they'll just park it for the next auction. Now they can only do that for so long. And my understanding is there are a lot of cars rolling through right now that aren't being sold because the prices are too high. Because they're trying to get their money out of it. And they can sit for a little while. It can sit for a few weeks or a few months even, hoping that the market comes back. Well, it's not coming back. Now, the whole, I think that this is also a caboose effect from what we had back in the Obama years, if you remember Cash for Clunkers. We had a whole generation of cars that were taken out of the market because they crushed them all. What they forgot about was that a lot of people buy used car parts. Those were all gone. All of this whole genre of cars in a certain year range, certain types of cars, guess what? The car parts are gone too. So it's all by design. They wanted to get rid of these gas-guzzling junkers. Get these new cars on the road. So they jump-started the whole thing. Well, what do you think they're going to do with the electric car market? Cash for gas guzzlers. I'm going to get rid of that thing. I'm going to give you a big cash benefit so you can go out and buy an electric car. I guarantee you that's what the next thing that the leftists are going to do. Have to get ready. They've done it before. They'll do it again. They'll wait until the generation forgets about cash for clunkers. This happened back in the late 1980s or 90s. There was a big push to get rid of energy sapping appliances. There was a program where you could get rid of your old appliances, buy new, more energy efficient appliances, and you got a cash rebate for that. Most people don't remember that at all. It happened. It was something for junkers as well at that time. And this was cash for clunkers, cash for clunkers, whatever there was. And it's the same program that they just put it in with cars. And they'll do it again. And I would bet at some point they're going to do it in the housing market as well. Housing market is really weird right now. It's just really bizarre. Now, my understanding is people are having a hard time because they have no expendable income, even though we have Kamala out there saying they're working so hard to make sure people have more cash in their pockets to go on vacation and buy a new dishwasher and all this other stuff they're doing. They don't. Why don't they? Because they just had all this stimulus check. The reason people took these stimulus checks and they just went out and blew them. Some people who didn't think they needed the money or they were on this roll of being on unemployment for a while. It's all this souped up unemployment checks. Apparently some states just let it roll for a long time. I guess the SNAP benefits now are running the food stamp program, the extra food stamp program thing that everybody was, that people were on getting. That's running out. So we're going to see a massive change and shift in certain things. Food banks, I guess, are gearing up because they're concerned that all these people who were working with the SNAP program, as soon as that goes away, they're going to have all these people coming into food banks. Well, yeah, if people would have just gotten jobs that were out there, there's plenty of jobs. People were screaming, looking for workers. Oh, well, I'm making too much money. I can't go to work. And now it's going to be, all of a sudden, there's going to be not enough jobs because some of those places have closed. Or they're, you know, some workers have stepped up and taken those jobs, and now they're not going to be available. It's going to be a very, very turbulent time, in my opinion, over the next couple of years. In fact, I think this year is going to be crazy. And in fact, I think they're going to use the craziness of this year to bring in this digital currency. Between this year and next year, I think they want something turbid to happen. They need the turbulence, they need the crisis in order to screw up the election. Now, speaking of weird elections, Fetterman is in hospital, and apparently there are some reports now saying that he actually is incoherent. He can't. They don't even know if he can understand, if he's understanding anything that anybody's saying. In other words, they're going around. They're not saying it, but everything that they're saying says he's brain dead. That they're concerned that he may be brain dead. That's been some reports coming from the hospital. Now that could all be, it could all be just a ruse. It could be just people just spreading rumors. But it's very possible. His wife took off on a vacation with the kids, went to another country while he's in the hospital. Well, we had to get away from the press. Really? You took a public job, you pushed your husband around, wanting the job, and everything she talks about is always about her. Is her name Giselle or something like that? Whatever her name is. And she takes off out of the country because she can't put up with the press asking questions. Wants to protect the kids. Great. He's in the hospital. So this is what you teach your kids. We just got to get away from your dad right now. We don't want to be there to support him or anything. They're trying to hold off long enough to announce that he has a problem, because if they do end up saying he's unfit, unable to fulfill the duties that he has, they would have to have a special election. It's within so many months of the election, they have a special election. That's open to both parties. Now, then they're concerned, they're afraid that they would lose in a special election. Why? Why would they lose in a special election? Because it's a one-day election. It's not a, let's have 3 months to harvest a bunch of ballots for this guy. It's a one-day election, and they know how that's going to turn out. I don't know who would run against him. I don't know if they put Dr. Oz back up there again or not. I have no idea. Doesn't really matter. They're just concerned. They have to stretch it out so they don't have to have a special election. They can just appoint somebody else put in there. And, of course, they're going to just appoint just anybody who's a leftist radical. This is the way they get away with this stuff. They can put in anybody they want to. Speaking of putting anybody in office, we got this issue now as well with, of course, Joe Biden being in the White House and Kamala, who is an absolute blithering idiot. I wish I had. And Biden is going downhill really fast. I don't know. You know, I've always talked about his cognitive abilities. I didn't think he was going to make it through the first year. I was saying he was going to really go downhill in the first year. I do know that they have some amazing drugs that they're putting in him now. However, it is obviously starting to take its toll. He is really getting bad. Tucker Carlson had some clips of him the other day, and he said, we can play a million hours of this guy doing this kind of thing. He's just bumbling around, hard to understand, saying really weird things to people. I was in the hospital, and the nurse was, she would breathe on me, and what? What are you talking about? What? Just creepy, weird stuff. I was talking about doctors, but nurses are, you know, nurses, yeah. Now, I may be a white man, but I'm not stupid. He said things like that. Just the pandering that goes on. Just weird stuff. It is such a show, and I just don't know. Folks, I don't know if you, and maybe this is just not a big deal. Maybe we shouldn't even care about it. So what? He's just the president. It seems like, folks, we better be doing something about this. Now, Kellyanne Conway was recently being interviewed, and she said something about, I think we're going to see a new and improved Trump. I don't know what that means. We'll see how that goes. Hopefully he's a better communicator. Ron DeSantis recently was being interviewed and talked about Article 2, how the president does have the authority to do some things that need to be done. And he made a very coherent, good argument along the lines of what could be done and what the president should do. The next president should do. Now, I have never heard Trump speak like that, to be able to communicate on a level of technical constitutional authority. He'll say some things once in a while, but it's not clear and concise. He has people around him who can do that. And he can communicate things that are true. He just unfortunately can't nail it home like DeSantis can. Now, I don't think that they would make good running mates. I don't think it would be good to have DeSantis as a vice president. I think it would work really well, personally, but I don't think the two of them would get along that well. I think they would make a great team if they could work as team players. I don't think Trump is a team player. That's the one weakness I don't think that Trump has. That I think Trump has. Unfortunately, his ego gets in the way, I think, sometimes of being able to not be the center of attention in the room. I think he's come a long way with that. I think that humility that he has now is probably much greater than what he had. If he would have won the second term, losing that election, supposedly, or, you know, I'm going to call it that. I just think that nobody else is going to step in. One of the things I think DeSantis was talking about basically was getting rid of the bureaucrats, being able to do away with them, gutting basically some of these organizations. The president has full authority to do that under Article 2. And I think that's where Trump needs to go. Now, whether he will do that or not, whether he'll find a team around him, he needs a team to be able to do this stuff. You can't just walk in there and start doing everything yourself. You have to have a team that's going to support you. And actually, this is where Paul Ryan was. We would have a wall. We wouldn't have fentanyl pouring across our border right now, killing over 100,000 kids a year. Oh, but guns are the number one killer in America right now of kids under 18. Did you know that? We have hundreds of kids dying every day from fentanyl overdose. But guns are the leading killer. Somebody in your state today, several people in your state today will die from fentanyl poisoning today. But guns are killing them all. I guess they're fentanyl guns. Yeah. So, I digress. I'm going to... I'm going to end the show because it's been over an hour. It's been rambling on here today. It's been rambling Wednesday. Live show coming up on Friday. It looks like it's still going to happen. Nothing else has gotten in the way. So... at this point, we're looking good. Looking good at this point for a Friday morning live show. I don't know what time it will be. Hoping to have it right around 8 o'clock is what I'm planning on. It's probably going to end up being closer to 9. I do have one. Is it Friday or is it tomorrow? I don't remember. Maybe tomorrow. I've got something to do. I'll know tomorrow. I'll let you know tomorrow what time the show will start on Friday. We'll just go with that. God bless everybody. Pray for our nation. Pray for our leaders. Pray for each other. Pray for our religious leaders. Pray for reconciliation. God bless everybody.